over in Colossians in the second chapter for a few minutes on influences. There's a lot of influences in life, isn't it? In fact, we're here today because of some influence. If you're a visitor today, you're here because something influenced you to be here, either a friend or a situation. Every day our life is full of influences of all kind, whether it be good influences or bad influences. Amen? And it's what we allow to influence us that has made us to where we are today. If you're a Christian, it's because the influences you have allowed in your life to bring you to this point. If your life is in destruction and chaos, it's because a result of the influences that you have allowed to influence you to get you to that point. We're all at the point of our life. Every person on this earth, not just the people in here, but every person on this earth are in the point of their life that they're at right now because of a result of the influences that we've allowed to impact our lives. Colossians in the second chapter in verse number 6. He said, "As ye therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Let us pray. Father, we love you today for this glorious word. Father, teach us today to be aware and to be cautious and watchful of the influences that is around every one of our lives every day that is shaping and molding our day and our tomorrows. And Father, we just love you and we praise you today for the opportunity to be here to hear this word. Father, that would help our life for the good. In Jesus' name, amen. This message was, I mean, it's such a big message to try to compact down into one little message here about the influences that is in life. He's saying here that in Colossians that we are rooted and built up. Amen. Our lives are about building up. Everything in our life is about building up, is it not? I mean, you don't hear people say, "Well, let's build down something. Let's build down." No, it's about building up everything we have. Amen. When we talk about our bank accounts, what do? We want to build up our bank account, don't we? Does anybody want to build down your bank account? Do you talk about, "I need to find ways to build down my bank account"? No, you want to find ways to build it up. Am I right? Yes. We do Sunday school. We got our amen-ers work. We said amen 10 times. We got to get our amen-ers working. I wasn't here before Sunday school. That ain't my fault. That's yours. Do we talk about building up our faith or building down our faith? What about our reputation? Do we try all we can? I need to find ways to build down my reputation. No, to build up our reputation, don't we? Do we find ways to build down our muscles or to build them up? To build down our knowledge or to build them up? To build down our experiences, to build them up? To build down our net worth? How many goes to your boss and says, "Look, I need to talk to you. I need to find some ways that me and you can talk things over to build down my pay grade"? How many has done that? But how many has gone to your boss and said, "We need to find ways to build up my pay grade"? Huh? See, God is about building up. The world and sin is about building down. And whatever influences you, either is going to build you up or build you down. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Everything that we come in contact with either builds us up or builds us down. It influences us some way. Peter said in the second chapter in verse 5, he said, ye also are lively stones, are what? Build up a spiritual house, not build down. God is about building us up. Every person I read in the Word of God that comes to God, He makes their life greater. He don't take away, but the people I see in the Word of God and the people I see every day who allow the enemy or Satan or the world to influence them, it builds their life down. We look at the influences. Look at a couple of people here. One is Charles Manson. I know that y'all young people don't even know who I'm talking about. But he had influence on people in the fact that he influenced them so much. He dominated them so much that he got them to go and murder and massacre people. How someone can influence someone to do that? You say, no one can influence me to do that. You hang around with them long enough and you will. You'll become what they are because of influencing you. Look at the terrorists and what they do. I mean, who could make... Well, there's Sister Connie up there in the sound room. Praise the Lord. There's my bride up there. I didn't know you was here. Slipped in on me. I preach now. Look, the terrorists, how that just a small group of them can influence people and change their mind and get them a mindset that they could just get in a plane and fly into a building and kill people through influence. It's crazy. Look at the music in the land today. It influences people. Music influences to the good or to the bad. We sing music and songs in here, but we're trying to influence you to the good. But there's music out there. I heard one on the news this week that Britney Spears, somebody correct me on that. I said Brooke Shields last Sunday when I was preaching. I meant Britney Spears. Some of y'all are laughing. I know y'all is laughing. That old man, he don't know what he's talking about up there. Most of them I don't. I need the Lord. Amen. Listen. I mean, kids, they want this stuff, and the parents run out. They can't get there fast enough to buy all this junk that is influencing them. You take a child who was good coming up, and then they begin to associate with some of this stuff, and then they begin to talk back at mom and dad, and they talk back and they rebel. They're being influenced somewhere to do this. Parents, you need to, that's why they call them parents. We'd watch over. We'd have to say so over them. We'll get into some of that in a minute. Listen. Influence means the power of persons or things to act on others, to have power over. When something influences you, it has power over you, and it controls you to do that. Amen. In everything, in everyone, in everything, in all of our surroundings, in everyone that we come in contact with, in every relationship, everybody say relationship. In every relationship that we have, it is either building you up or bringing you down. It is influencing you in some capacity, either to build you up or to bring you down. Now, if you're hanging around people that's always bringing you down or changing you or belittling what you really was before you met them, then my friend, I would suggest changing friends. Young people, listen. When you pick people to hang out with, old people, listen to me. When you pick people to hang around with, you need to pick someone that's better than you are. More successful than you are. so that they maybe can help pull you up to their standard, amen, rather than someone less than you pulling you down to this standard. Because we're influenced by what we're around. What do they call that, people? They driving and they're wobbling all over the road and this blue light goes on and they stop them and they arrest them for what? They're being influenced by alcohol or drugs. They're under some type of influence. And it's causing them to do what it wants them to do. Makes dumb decisions because they're being influenced by something. People make dumb decisions all the time because of the influence they're around. Your TV there, when the commercial is on and it's blasting away, it is trying to influence you to purchase that. Amen. Read you this little story here. It's who we're around and what we're around. It says a few months ago, or a few months before I was born, it says, the story does, my dad met a stranger who was new to our town. From the beginning, Dad was fascinated with this enchanting newcomer and soon invited him to live with our family. The stranger was quickly accepted and was around to welcome me into this world a few months later. As I grew up, I never asked questions his place in our home, in our family. Mom taught me to love the Word of God. Dad taught me to obey it, but the stranger was our storyteller. He could weave the most fascinating tales, adventures, mysteries, comedies, and were daily conversations. He could hold our whole family spellbound for hours each evening. He was like a friend to the whole family. He took Dad, Bill, and me to our first Major League Baseball game. He was always encouraging us to see the movies, and he even made arrangements to introduce us to several movie stars. The stranger never stopped talking. Dad didn't seem to mind, but sometimes Mom would quietly get up while the rest of us were enthralled with the stories of faraway places. But she'd get up and she'd go to her room, read the Bible or pray or something like that. I wonder if she ever prayed or that the stranger would leave. You see, my dad ruled our house with certain moral convictions, but this stranger never felt an obligation to honor them. Profanity, for example, was not allowed in our house. Not from any of us. Our longtime visitor, however, was occasional four-letter words that burned my ears and made Dad squirm. To my knowledge, the stranger was never confronted. My dad didn't permit alcohol in his home, not even for cooking. But the stranger felt that we needed exposure and enlighten us to the other ways of life. He offered us beer and other alcoholic beverages often. He made cigarettes look tasty, cigars manly, and pipes distinguished. He talked frequently and freely about sex. His comments were sometimes blatant, sometimes suggestive, and generally embarrassing. I know now that my early concepts of man and woman relationship were influenced by the stranger. As I look back, I believe that it was the grace of God that the stranger did not influence us more. Time after time, he opposed the values of my parents, yet he seldom was rebuked and never asked to leave. More than 30 years have passed since the stranger moved into this young family on Morningside Drive. But if I were to walk into my parents' den today, you would still see him sitting over in the corner waiting for someone to listen to him talk and watch him draw his pictures, his name, and always will be called the TV. That's an old story. We have the internet that far surpasses TV. That influences women to leave their husband and drive across the United States to Washington State to hook up with some man that she'd never seen before. Friend, I ain't telling you something blowing smoke. This is reality. I've seen men leave their family to go to some slut that he met online. This is reality. The music that we allow to go into our ears. All the modern all the modern technology, every child has something in their hand all the time. They have text messages and they have cameras and they're shooting themselves with the pictures and then emailing them and sending them all over. And then that picture gets put somewhere and exposed. And parents can't buy enough of these toys to influence our children into rebellion in the wrong way. Am I telling the truth? Am I telling you the truth this morning? Eve was influenced in the garden, was she not? What kind of influence are you around every day? You see, this modern technology keeps us in touch with the whole world 24/7. Even in the bedrooms. Everywhere. Church. School. In touch. What are we in being influenced by? What are we in touch with? People send me a text message. I got one yesterday. Last night I was there and it got a message and I pulled it out and it was like Spanish or something. I've never answered one back because I don't know how to text. If you want me, you better call me. I know how to talk. Modern technology can't get enough to influence us, to distract us. Amen? That's what he's talking about. He said in Colossians 2 and 8, he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Spoil means to lead you away or lead away or to seduce, to strip. Any man spoil you. Beware. How do they spoil you? Through philosophy. What is philosophy? It is man's wisdom. It is fleshliness. It is also a friend, associate, neighbor that can spoil you. Whenever we're the enemy, whenever we're the friend of the world, we're enemy to God. Romans, the 8th chapter, tells us that fleshliness and worldliness is the enemy of God. Our friends, my friend, if they're influencing us in the wrong way, you need new friends. If our associates that we are with is distracting us and drawing from our lives, we need new associates. If our neighbors, maybe we need to search out another neighborhood. Amen? Through philosophy are vain or empty. Vain means empty, deceit. In other words, if they're not adding your friends and your associates and your neighbors, your surroundings every day, if they're not adding to your life, they're taken from you. It's one of the two. It's never the same. Is there two people in here identical? Look around. Y'all see two identical people in here? We're none the same. Either we're going to influence people to the good or to the bad. And so they're either adding to you or taken away. Let's just say, for instance, that you are... Now, this is not a Bull Derrick thing. You can number your number. But say if you're on a standard of 5, okay, that's your number. You're a 5 person. And you hang around with a 3 person. Are you with me? What's 5 plus 3? And it's 2 of you divided by 2 is what? That 3 will make you a 4. Amen? And if you continue to hang around, what is 4 and 3? Divided by 2 is how much? That 3 will make you a 3.5. And if you keep hanging, and we can just keep going until you got down finally to a 3. Huh? On the other hand, if you get someone that say, hey, you're a five, then you need to look for an eight to start hanging around. What you think? Does it make sense? You say, well, Brother Dave, maybe they won't hang around me because I'll pull them down. Maybe they ain't heard this message. You have. Maybe they'll pull you up. I believe if anyone has got an interest of bettering themselves, you're going to move up to what they are. You're not going to pull them down. But you see, there's some people who don't care in this world. Did you know that? You probably ran into a few of them along the way, hadn't you? Beware, lest any man spoil you through vain, empty deceit. That is delusion. They will dilute you through delusions, through false belief, through misleading. You know, you take young people. You take young people and young people, you can draw them a picture. I've done this. You can draw young people a picture and they just go, you see their eyes start. How many knows what I'm talking about? Because they're simple. In fact, they say that young people, till you get about 18 or so, well, there's always exception to any rule, 18 to 21, that the front part of their brain is not fully developed. And that process is, if I do this, what's going to happen down there? They only can see right here. I'm going to do it. I'm going to jump. They don't understand what's going to happen when they get to the bottom. That's why they do some crazy things. That's why when we was young, we did some crazy things. I mean, they take a picture of themselves, you know, provocatively, and I'm going to email this to my friend. And the next thing you know, it's all over the internet. So, God, how did it get there? Because you took it. Hello? Process. They're simple. The Bible calls them simple. We were simple then. Amen? So things of this misleading is easy to lead them astray. It talks about simple. What is simple? Simple means you're seducible. Look at the one next to you and say, are you seducible? Let me tell you, if you you can't be seduced unless you're seducible. If you're simple. He said in Proverbs in the 14th chapter in verse number 15, he said, the simple believeth every word. You can tell them anything, they believe it. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. In other words, wait a minute, you want me to do that? Let's just think about this a minute. Let's just think about this. What's going to happen if I do this? Because every action has a reaction. Everything you do, there's going to be a result from it. He said in Proverbs 14 and 18, he said, the simple inherit folly, foolishness. But the prudent are crowned with knowledge. People will just think a little bit. Young people think. Old people think a little bit. What do they say when people do some dumb things? They'll say, what was I thinking? Proverbs in the 7th chapter in verse 7, it says, he said that he beheld among the simple ones, and I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. When you get home, you ought to look that up and read the rest of the story and see what happens to that young man. Oh, like so many young people today, being influenced in the wrong way. And we've all been there, haven't we? Psalms 19 and 7 said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You say, well, Brother Dave, I want a message that makes me shout over the pews. Well, look at here. This will make you blessed, amen, that if God can bring us up a notch in our life, amen? He's given us some information here that every day we're being influenced by something. Maybe your life is vexed. The Lord said, wake up and look around and see why you're vexed. Pretty plain, isn't it? Ezekiel 13 and 8, it says, therefore thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity, that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writings of the house of the Lord of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. Because even because they have what? Seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others dabbed it with untempered mortar. That means foolish mortar, foolish things, and they fall. That's like young people. That's like people who hang around with the wrong crowd. You can take a person that has been brought up in a distinctive home, well educated, and you can take that person and put them out there and the people with the, along with the people who do not care, that'll just dab them with anything, and their life will not stand. It'll fall. Amen. Young ladies, listen to me. Whenever you take and you begin to get of age that you want to marry, look around at a man and you find that man who you want your children to be raised like. If you look at him and say, well, he's a bum, then my friend, do you want your children to be bums? Then I would advise you, don't even go on the first date with him. Don't waste your time with him. Listen. But if you see someone who is working hard, that's got a job and is responsible, amen, then my friends, young ladies, I would advise you to kind of check him out a little bit. Oh, he might not look like you want him to look, but if he'll be faithful and work and supply, amen, come on. If he'll be a good husband and a good father to your children. No, I want that guy that got his riches hanging there. Hey, baby, come on, go with me and we'll make our life something. Yeah, you go up to, hey, man, can you use me? I got one good hand. Wait a minute, I got to put this down. Microphone down so if you listen to my CD, hold on.
Said, I got one good hand with me. Hold on a minute. Hey, man. How you doing?
I'll get back to you.
Great goodness. Come on. I see young girls. I mean, it blows my mind. I see young girls and the dudes that get out of the car. She's driving, buying the gas. And the dude gets out of the car with her, follows them into a restaurant walking like this. Because the bridge is the straddle down here. Somebody gets after it. Wait a minute. They go up to the counter. They always stand back. She'll go up there and she'll order. And she'll pay. Man, it wasn't like that with Sister Connie. I go all the way from North Charleston with my gas, pick her up out in Somerville. Her mama had a good hot home cooked meal on the table, and I'm looking at it. Good old biscuits with sorghum syrup there. Oh, man, look at all that food. Her 96 pounds says, ain't hungry. Hungry. All right, let's go. We go to the drive-in. As soon as I put that thing in park, she said, let's go get a hot dog. So I had to go down there with my money, buy her hot dogs, fries, and big old dill pickle and everything else. I might get a little smooch out of it. That's all. Oh, it's worth the money. But look here. She's always taking care of my children. I've always worked and put food on the table. Come on. 37 years this year we've been together. Come on. Amen. Amen. Had never no other woman come between us. No other man. Come on. Come on. I'm telling you, church, listen, we are influenced by what we're around. Amen. But let me tell you what, the best thing I ever did for my home is when I let the influence of God come into the middle of it. Amen. And begin to influence us. Glory. Help us, Lord. He says in Romans in the 16th chapter, verse number 17. Now I beseech ye, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and what? Avoid them. Young people, old people, all of us in this building, if there's somebody you're hanging around with that is contrary to what God wants your life to become, you need to mark that person and you need to avoid them. Look at here, parents, because the front part of the children's brains don't develop till they get on up of age up there, like 18 to 21. He has named you parents to watch over them. Amen. And you're responsible. Oh, well, I'm just going to let them explore. No, you do not do that. They don't have the right mindset to make right decisions. I'm not belittling you, young people. Listen, I was young at one time. I did some dumb things I wish I could go back and undo in a race. But I thank God that I had a mom and daddy that instilled in me, amen, that even when I did wrong, I knew it was wrong. But they watched over me, amen. I'm glad that I took and watched over my daughter and my son, amen. I said where they could go and where they couldn't go. Come on. Well, they're 13. Come on. Seen a lot of 13-year-olds just mess their life up because parents are so liberated. Well, they're mature. You might think so. But go in their bedroom occasionally and look around. Look on their, well, 13, they shouldn't even have a cell phone. Unless it's for emergency calls. My brother sent me an email the other day. He said, "Are you old as dirt?" Ask you a bunch of questions. How many of you had a cell phone when you was a teenager? Let me ask you, how many of you even had a phone in your bedroom? It was one in the house. It was in the living room. And it was a party line. You pick it up, somebody talking on there. You had to wait, they get off. Come on, church. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Oh, y'all too strict on me. Look at their parents and let them do anything. Yeah, but watch their life. They'll be visiting them in prison. They'll be having to raise their grandchildren. Don't tell me it ain't so. It is. I'm a hard preacher, ain't I? I ain't coming back here no more. I'm going to tell you everything you need to know this time then. I love you. That's why I tell you these things. I love you. I want you to be a success. I want every girl to have a good, godly man that will live with them and raise their children and supply food on the table. Amen. I want every young boy to have a good, godly wife that'll love their children. I want you to be successful, to build up your bank account and not build it down. I don't want you to be turn out to be in poverty and beggars. I want you to associate yourself with people that's going to help you in life, not hinder you. Matthew 16 and 6 says, "Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Wow. Take heed. Take heed means to behold. It's an asterism. It means to discern clearly. And beware. Beware means to hold the mind. It means to pay attention to those you're around and the situations you're around, because they influence you. You ought to do an influence check on what you're around every day. How do they influence you? See, we was all influenced from birth in America to speak English. Didn't somebody come and say, "Hey, you need to speak English"? Did we not just get influenced and pick it up? It goes without saying everything else. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. In other words, he says, have nothing to do with them. That's what Jesus is telling them. Have nothing to do with the Pharisees, because we know that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Our friends and our associates, our neighbors. You see, what happens with our friends and our associates and our neighbors, we let down our guard. See, when you're around strangers, you're on a, you know, you don't have your hand up like this, but your subconscious, you're like, you're on guard. You know, you're watching everything, you know, because they're liable to want to hurt me. But when we get around our friends, we relax, don't we? And we let down our guard, and they begin to intrude on us and influence us, either to the good or to the bad. That's what happens. So we need to really be on guard then. Amen. Ephesians in the second chapter in verse number 2. You have it? He said, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." We did, didn't we? "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's what we all once did. But we don't walk that way anymore. So how can we walk comfortably, since we don't walk that way anymore? How can we walk comfortably with people who do walk that way anymore? I don't care how strong you of a Christian you are. You might be the greatest evangelist, the most anointed preacher or teacher or Christian that's ever walked on this earth, and you begin to hang around with that crowd, you're going to become what they are. They're going to dilute you into being what they are. They will influence you. You say, "Well, Brother Dave, how do we save them?" We go and we don't get in the bathtub with them. You get them out. Amen. We go around people and, yeah, seek and save that's what's lost, but we don't live with them. We don't hang out with them. It's a different message. Amen. We can't be in step with sin in the world any longer. Amos 3:3, he says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" How can you be a Christian and have a good close friend that's a sinner? What do you have in common with? That's why a lot of times what the Bible said, that, you know, that you'll become hated. In other words, when you get saved, your friends will start kind of not wanting to hang around with you anymore. Can I get a witness to that? It's not that you're evil, it's just y'all don't have anything in common anymore. He says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, he says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness?" I mean, how can you, you know, it doesn't work that way. See, yoked together is like two animals yoked, and it's uneven. And you're maybe pulling advanced, and they're doing nothing. They're going to eventually pull you back to where they're at because of the influence. Amen. Someone in here can come to instruments. We can't have evil friends and evil associates around with us. Ephesians 5 and 11, she don't have a scripture, but it said, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness," because it influences us in the wrong way. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, he says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." You might teach your children good manners to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. You listen to me. When I was in school, my teacher asked me something. I said, "Yes, ma'am," and "No, ma'am." You know how they do it today? "Yeah." "Huh?" Need to slap them down in the floor. I'm 57 and I still say on the phone, "Yes, ma'am." "Yes, sir." Most of the time. Sometime I've been influenced not to. Now listen. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with saying to Sister McGrath, "Yes, ma'am"? What is wrong? That's a thing of respect. It's not that she's lord over me or I'm her slave. Come on. It's a thing called respect. I don't care. I don't care how old they are, how young they are. I don't care what color and nationality they are. "Yes, yes, sir." "Yes, ma'am." "No, ma'am." "Yes, sir." What's wrong with that? Respect. Sound like a little baby saying respect, didn't it? Amen. Get it young. She listening. But evil communications will corrupt good manners. You can raise them right, and they can be raised to talk right to you, and then they start hanging around with that group down the road, and look, they start coming in, back-mouthing you. My kids knew I wouldn't put up with that 1 minute. You say, "What?" No, they didn't ever try that. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5 and 9. He said, "I wrote unto you in the epistle not to company with fornicators." Now, we all know that, don't we? I mean, how many would hang out with somebody that's doing adultery on their wife, fellas? You hang out with a good buddy of yours and he's just adultering around on his wife. You go fishing with him all the time and hang out with him for hours. And you being a Christian, vice versa, ladies, you know that some woman is, you know, running around on her husband, and you just can't get enough for hanging around her. The Bible said, not to keep company with fornicators. Listen to this, though. Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, but with covetous, with extortioners, with idolaters. For then must ye needs to go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or railer or drunkard or extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. Amen. In other words, because they will influence you. You'll become what they are. Y'all still awful quiet. I hope y'all enjoying this. Listen, sometimes them vegetables ain't quite as good as that old banana pudding. But let me tell you, that vegetables are better for you than the banana pudding. I'm almost finished. Listen, I know, call the musicians up here. They're ready. Nehemiah 13:23. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod and Ammon and Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language. Wow. Their language got changed. They got influenced in the wrong way. I ask you this morning, what is your influences? Be honest right now. As we've been talking about this, has anybody in here begin to think about your surroundings every day and the people you hang around with? Is anybody? A few of you? Maybe they're the ones that didn't raise your hands, the ones that did, are thinking about you. No, just Proverbs 27:17. Listen, iron sharpeth iron. So a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friend. In other words, you are sharpened and shapened by the company you keep. Something, iron will sharpen iron. But something that's inferior to iron will dull iron. Did you know that? That's why when you cut wood with an axe, after a while you got to sharpen it because it dulls it, does it not? So when you hang around with something that's inferior to what you are, it will dull you. It will dull you. Brother Mike, I was thinking about him. He's back there with the puppets this morning. He started coming to church here. Brother Tim, let me can hear. He's working this morning. When he was in high school. And he got saved. He was a good friend of Tim at Meekin, and Tim invited him to come. And he got saved. And he started hanging close to me and Sister Connie. Amen? On Sunday, he'd want to tag along with the two old people. Go eat lunch. And then they'd come over to our house and sit around. We'd talk. It was iron being sharpened by iron. He'd sharpen me and I'd sharpen him. Amen? I'm persuaded to believe, had he took a different route, that he wouldn't be teaching the men's class today. He wouldn't be singing the specials. Amen. He wouldn't be back there on Wednesday night still working with them young boys. You see, it makes a difference who we hang around. Now, after service, I don't want all y'all going home with me. There's a bunch of other good people in here. But hang around someone that's going to sharpen and shape in your life to the good. Does it make sense? And lastly, Hebrews 10:24, he said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to what? Good works. Good works is what we need in our lives. Amen. Now, if you had $1,000 and you said, I've got $1,000 and I want to invest it in something. Or I'm going to invest it in something. And you hear of this stock or this company that's always just losing money. It's just going down. The company's just losing money, losing money, losing money. Or you hear this company that's the stock is going up and it's just a good smooth run firm company that's always profitable. Which one would you invest your $1,000 in? Y'all just keep your $1,000. Knowing the economy, good decision. But you're gonna invest this. Which one would you invest in? The one that's going up. Well, let me tell you, our souls and our lives is far more important than $1,000. And you need to take and look around and don't invest your life in a bunch of losers. But invest your life in some winners. Amen? Does it not make sense? Because listen to me, you're going to be influenced by somebody, somewhere, something. Anyhow, why not be influenced to the good? Why not? Why not? Come on, stand with us. Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you, Lord, for, I know, Lord, it was kind of a hard word, but it was a good word. Help us to beware what Paul is saying in Colossians. To beware. Lest any man spoil us through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men and the rudiments of this world and not after Christ. Help us, Lord, to be conscious of the direction that we're walking. Because the direction that we're walking tells us what we're hanging with. If we're walking pleasing to you, it means, Lord, that we're being influenced by the good things of this world. Your word, other brothers and sisters in Christ, we're surrounding ourselves with good things. We're investing in winners. But Lord, if we are walking toward hell, if we're walking and our life is growing darker, then Lord, that speaks to us as well that we're being influenced by losers, by things that is diluting us, things that are drawing from us and taking from our lives, that's building us down and not up. Father, you see every one of our hearts and our lives in this building here, young and old alike. Lord, I pray for the good of every person in this building. God, that you'd begin to lead our spirit in the right ways. And Father, help us, Lord, to be watchful to the surroundings that we're around every day. In our homes, in our technology, in our children, in our friends, in our associates, and our neighbors. Even in our church. For your glory, in Jesus' name. While your heads are bowed, maybe.